He's looking for worshipers who produce something. Come on, Southwest Missouri, you've been called to disciple nations. Worship leaders and worship groups, you have been called to disciple nations. And never has there been a time before when you had such access to nations. With a click of the button, someone can be discipled by what you do. Somebody can tune into your service or watch your song on YouTube, and their life can be forever marked. And God intends for us to position ourselves to become a people to allow His presence to flow through our lives in such a way that redemption begins to work, not just for us, but through us.
Burn in us a passion to make Your glory known. Birth in us something that can shift the atmosphere.
And we declare a shift in the name of Jesus. We declare a divine shift over the atmosphere of Southwest Missouri. A shift away from depression and into hope. A shift away from uselessness into purpose in Jesus' name.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I am your host, and I am joined by
Haley Kaler, the co-host extraordinaire.
Thanks so much for showing up.
Yeah.
Hey, this podcast is all about songwriting. We're making an announcement today about songwriting, and our guest is talking about songwriting. For a while, we've been talking about starting what we're calling a songwriter collective in Southwest Missouri. Basically, it's regular songwriting sessions.
Yes.
You know, we've talked to a lot of worshipers and worship leaders, musicians in the area of Southern Missouri, Southwest mm-hmm. Missouri. Yeah, I would love to write.
Yes.
Have you started writing? No.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't know.
Well, it's hard for some people. Not everybody has the extreme talent to write lyrics, music, and melody and have it all polished up just by themselves.
Well, it's true. It is hard to get the ball rolling. You know, taking that first step is sometimes the hardest.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to help with that first step. And there's a scripture in the Bible that I always like to refer to and think about because... You know, when we dream about songwriting and we think about songwriting, you know, our goal is not to create another CD to flood iTunes, okay?
No.
You know, our goal is to see something from heaven released in the earth in a way that transforms culture, or in a way that transforms the way people think, live, and react.
Yes.
On this earth. And I love the scripture out of 1 Samuel. This is right after... Samuel anoints Saul as king, and he's telling Samuel, when you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is located, you will meet a band of prophets.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because that's the first place that band is used.
Oh,
the word band.
Band, yeah.
So, you know, there's a bit of a struggle sometimes in people's thoughts, especially church leadership. You know, how do worship leaders or musicians, this moody group, this group that's so artistic,
emotional,
how do they fit into my church culture? And the truth is, this prophetic, moody, emotional, creative community is not meant just to fit in to a 10 a.m. to 10:30 slot on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, musicians and worshipers, you know, we talk about Davidic worship going all the way back through the Old Testament. These are people that were not confined to a little 30-minute slot. Now, we serve in our local church
mm-hmm.
as worship leaders. We have our allotted time, and we bring heaven in that time. But we are created for something much bigger than once a week.
Yeah.
We are created to transform culture.
Yes.
We're created to go to release things on a bigger level. So I love that when he talks about this band. And he says, they will be playing a harp, a tambourine, a flute, and a lyre. And they will be prophesying. And at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. And that's the power that musicians and songwriters and this community of worshipers bring. They bring the power that changes people from one person to another in an instant. It's that encounter with God. It's that encounter with the atmosphere of another world that has the potential to transform.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
So that's a little backstory, a little kind of the heart behind what we're doing. So Haley, why don't you tell us when the first regional Songwrite is and where, and give us the details.
Okay, the Songwriter Collective will begin Friday, April 17th at 6 p.m. at Calvary Baptist Church in Joplin.
Yeah, so the first half hour is maybe going to be kind of a meet and greet, a little bit of a hangout time.
Yeah.
And then we're going to split up. And to make it easy, we want to equip this to be successful. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring a scripture and a topic for people that, you know, kind of are coming empty-handed and not sure which direction to go. And we're also going to divide everybody into three categories. We're going to have people that are good with lyrics,
yep,
people that are good with music, so musicians, and people who are good with melody.
Yeah.
And we're going to put those three categories together and put them in a room together.
See what happens.
And see what happens.
Yeah. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good. Music is, I've always been really touched by music, even as a child, but I think it's just such a powerful tool to help your heart, you know, kind of soften, and your soul get out of the way. You know, your soul connects, and then you make way to open the door for your spirit to connect, if that makes sense. I've heard Mark say that. So music is just such a powerful vehicle for people, and I'm really excited to see what comes out of this.
Well, yeah, not only that, I mean, we can even look historically in the United States of America, and we look back at, defining points in the history of the United States.
Oh my gosh.
Culturally.
Yeah, Elvis Presley. The Beatles.
Led Zeppelin. You know, all these names you don't mention in church.
That's true, but I mean, there are definitely distinct, I mean, Woodstock, there's distinct time periods where culture maybe shifted a little. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for worse, you know.
Yeah, it was defined.
But there was a lot of power behind the music of that era.
Yeah, and the truth is that songwriters have the ability to shift and shape culture more than any lawmaker will ever have. I mean, in the United States, we are so wrapped up in politics,
mm-hmm,
and we kind of push music and songwriting to the side. But honestly, if you want to change a nation, get in the presence of God and write songs.
It's true. And with, you know, vehicles like YouTube, with social media, it's no longer where you have to write songs and then be discovered.
Right.
By a big,
yeah, that's all
a big corporation. I mean, you have the power to write a God song in your bedroom and record it and, you know, share it with the world just from there.
Yeah, with one button click, nations can be discipled by what you create.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very awesome. Exciting to think about. Super exciting to see what's going to happen. So we encourage everybody who is interested in even just trying. We're just asking to try.
Yeah.
Maybe you're scared. That's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
And expect it a little bit. But we're going to help everybody walk through it and be successful. If you want to register for the songwriting session, go to nextgenworship.com, click the Songwriting Collective tab. It's just a simple form to sign up, just to say, hey, I'm coming. There's no cost, obviously.
Yeah, it's free.
But just to say, hey, I'm coming, and there'll be more details there.
Awesome. Can't wait.
On this week's podcast, we have a conversation with Mark Hendrickson. Mark, with his wife Debbie, has led worship for over 25 years. They pioneered a church. They served with Mike Bickle, pre-International House of Prayer Days, and also were in the beginning era of that movement in Kansas City. He is an amazing wealth of knowledge in the area of worship and discipleship and songwriting. We have this conversation with Mark about the history of songwriting in the church, the way it's progressed and developed over the years, where it's at now, and where he believes that God is taking it. Coming up also, we have the next Unite Worship Gathering in Southwest Missouri. This is going to be at Impact Life Church in Joplin, Missouri. Go to nextgenworship.com/unite to find out all the details for that. As always, thanks for listening. Give us a review on iTunes, like and share on social media. Thanks for listening and enjoy our conversation with Mark Hendrickson.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing.
Greetings for the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Daryl Billings. I'm kind of a sub-host for Clint Kaler, who normally does this. But right now we're in Kansas City, sitting in at some friend's house. Mark and Debbie Hendrickson just recently did a podcast about what it's like to raise children in the very anointing atmosphere of God. But in this podcast, I want to talk specifically to Mark. Mark carries something in the way of music that I'm glad he's my friend. Because I've learned so much, and I've learned so much about the Father's heart through him. So I'm going to ask Mark these questions and just see where we go from there. But Mark, where do you think the worship music has been for the last, let's say, 20, 30 years? Because you've been in that longer than I. Where and the journey that has taken us into now, and maybe where tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, thanks, Daryl. Jordan, being a great friend with you, and so it's a pleasure to speak into this. I think it's strategic. I think it's probably more important than we realize, because if I look over the movements that I've certainly seen in my life, which would go back to the late 50s, I was born in the middle 50s, I can see that each movement has a uniqueness in the song style or the message of the songs that portrays or expresses the content or theme of what God's doing in that movement. And if we were to go back even further, I mean, many of our hymns were written by John and Charles Wesley. And John and Charles Wesley being great men of methods, which of course started the Methodist movement, Methodist Church. Well, how are they going to get their theology back into the homes of the people? So they came up with this idea. Let's go to the bar rooms. Let's get the bar songs.
Right.
And let's put theology on the bar songs or melodies. That way the tunes that the people already know go home with them, but now they have the theology on top of the tunes. Now the people rehearse the theology all during the week. Well, music is that powerful. It's the vehicle that carries something that is more than just cognitive or raw data. Music speaks to the soul man.
Right.
The soul man then gives opening or entrance or influence to our spirit man being affected. And so I feel like that the way the music goes is just hugely critical to how the culture goes around each movement or around a nation, whatever paradigm we're speaking about. So let me just go over what I think is in my lifetime. In my early lifetime, it was mostly hymns. And hymns gave us a lot of theology. It also gave us a lot of future pie in the sky. When the roll is called up yonder, you know, something like that.
Right.
So it's something far off and distant. But it created hope in a dark world.
Correct.
So it fed a very real purpose. Along came Full Gospel Businessmen and then Charismatic Renewal. And in the early 70s, we heard a lot from the Garretts from New Zealand. Dale and David Garrett wrote hundreds and hundreds of scripture songs, scripture in song. So now in our church service, we're singing choruses. the choruses gave us Bible.
Right.
Raw Bible to melody. Well, I believe in God's heart. He was saying, I'm going to put Bible in the hearts of the people. Most people don't read their Bible as much as they should or as much as they feel like they want to. God says, I'm going to give you a vehicle to help you. You're going to learn a song that's made up of Bible, and you get to take it home, and you learn the word. How cool is that? I think it's extremely strategic. Most of those songs were about, He is God, He is Lord, you know, something along that line. It's about He. God was always in third person. But then come around the late 70s, early 80s, I believe we turned a corner where we began singing to God.
Right.
You are, you know, and those kinds of sentiments where our worship and in the church became not just third person centered, but it came into a personal relationship where God and I were talking face to face in our worship. Then in the 90s, I believe we had a lot of songs conveying to us that God really loved us. There were several movements that centered around Father's love.
Right, right.
The love of the Father for us. And I believe that was extremely strategic because I believe God wanted to wipe out fear. It's impossible to serve God with wholehearted gusto if we're riddled with fear. And I believe God very strategically says, I'm going to give you songs that we're going to eradicate fear. And so we took those songs home with us. We sang them in our cars. We sang them, in house churches all around the nation and world. Then more recently, we've got a smattering of songs along the lines of grace. Because I believe God, what he's trying to do now is to get rid of condemnation. Most of us have walked under copious amounts of shame and condemnation about sin, and that presses us into sin management, and we're just, much of our processor, CPU time is spent in trying to overcome my fallenness. Well, I believe God wants to integrate into our very thinking, not just as a theology on a printed page of the Bible, but in our music, he wants to bring this concept that I'm so for you that I've overcome your sin and I want to eradicate condemnation. Of course, we could quote the verse very well. There's therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. But the fact of the matter is having a theology, and listen to this, having your theology is one thing, but our self-talk can be a completely different thing. The way we talk and think about ourselves when we're by ourselves can be a completely different thing. If we're not careful, we have a dualistic way of relating to God. One's through our theology and one's through our self-talk. Well, I think God was so interested. I want to take you guys somewhere. You're not just sheep. You're not just servants. You are sons, but you're destined for something. You're destined to reign with me. Now, God, in his great wisdom, he knows you cannot reign as a king, because remember the scripture says we're priests and kings are under God. God says you can't reign if you're riddled with fear. There's no way you can be a healthy, wholesome, God-loving and fearing king if you're riddled with fear of God, meaning the wrong kind of fear. Neither can you be a king if you're riddled with shame or condemnation. So I believe it's the strategy of God to give us songs that will begin to marinate our hearts in what he really thinks about us. So if you're a king, which by the way, I believe that with all my heart, he's called us to be priests and kings, I believe that we could expect to see words in songs come forth that will wash our hearts and renew our minds. Romans 12:1 says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to get our minds made new so that we will be transformed in the way it outworks in our life. So for years, I have known this concept. If you want to write a song, speaking to you songwriters now, if you want to write a song, listen to what God's saying out around your culture, the preachers you listen to, the conversations you have out in your friendship world. What are the conversations? What are the sermons that are being preached? And listen for the key strategic phrases that encapsulate the unique emphasis that God's making in our time. So for the last maybe 3 months or so, I've been putting down some phrases. I've got a document on my computer that I have phrases and quotes and scripture verses and just thoughts that come from conversations, and I've been putting them together. And about 3 weeks ago, another worship leader and I got together, just kind of on a lark. We didn't know if anything come to it. We thought, well, let's just put something together. And things begin falling together. And I'll just say something to you. I'll just kind of a cappella without time or rhythm in here. I'm going to talk about kings. This is just one song that I'm putting together. It's only about a third of the way done, but here's a little chorus. It goes, this is my joy, Christ living in me, releasing the kingdom from where I'm seated. He made me a king, now I'm royalty. Robes of his righteousness surround me, made a co-heir. I'm fashioned to reign, ruling from heaven above in righteous decrees. Now has the kingdom come, he's reigning through me. Now, that might sound like a little bit of a stretch because I'm talking about big, heady stuff. I mean, kings reigning from heaven above with royal and righteous decrees. The fact of the matter is, the reason that seems so big is that we haven't read the word close enough to realize that that's what his thoughts are for us.
Right.
So I'd like to create a song with that so it goes home with us. It haunts us and hounds us in the best sense of the word so that it uncovers and locks and nurtures the real DNA, the real destiny that you and I have been called to do, and that is to be a co-heir and a co-reigner with Jesus.
Unlocking other songs that would just be bound up. And these are songs of freedom.
Yeah.
When I think of people like Jake Hamilton in the movie The Holy Ghost sitting on the steps of a foreign god idol, mm-hmm. and he's proclaiming freedom over a nation, over a group of people.
Exactly.
That's the type of things. I mean, it was a simple song, yet the when God created the universe and created light, it was simple words.
Yeah.
Light.
So good.
Let there be. And this is part of as you say, our DNA, part of our culture. How did we learn our ABCs? We didn't learn our ABCs by ABC. You can't hardly say your ABCs without singing them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the very basic foundations of writing Pulitzer Prize novels come from this simple ABC song for us who write English.
Yeah.
How much more would songs that come to unlock mm-hmm. the destiny of God's beloved people.
Yeah.
You know, people who are not even saved yet, hearing these songs being proclaimed, I call it a breaker anointing.
Yeah.
The breaker anointing being the fact that there's like a breaker switch that is in your utility box. Short circuit has caused it to be turned off, but just the flip of this switch by the truth of a song or the truth of your identity causes the circuit to be reconnected, and all of a sudden things begin to flow. I'm seeing songwriters who are listening to this podcast saying, mm-hmm. And we're created to be creative, and we're created to write, to at least listen to songs. Some of us are not created to write songs. I'm created to listen to songs.
Yeah.
but I'm also created to stir some other things up. But these are the type of things that lock us. Like you said, God has moved in many ways, and right now there's a new pioneering spirit coming out into. What is my destiny?
Yeah.
Why are we here? Why did Jesus come to set things right? It's not just for some pie in the sky. Someday we'll be sitting on a cloud. He came for us to reign here on the earth from a place seated in heaven, which is beyond our understanding, but it's still real. But I think if we have songs to that understanding, it'll come real.
I totally believe it.
Yeah,
I totally believe. Yeah, some of you listening, you're probably about to come unglued right now. And I just feel the presence of the Lord on what I just said. And this is a Holy Ghost, a Holy Spirit time for you to awaken what's been latent in you. you creative types, you pioneer types, you were destined and born to be the shapers of your culture and shapers of the society around you, shapers of the next generation. You've been made with you've got the tools and the innate ability to voice or to communicate what God wants to say. And I just want to declare over you right now that that skill and that anointing come forth through you with unhindered fashion. It'll be tooled and equipped in such a way that your expressions and your communication literally stop people in their tracks, literally free people from old mindsets, literally awaken brand new DNA inside of them that is not necessarily brand new, but it's never been realized. It's never been understood, and you're going to awaken DNA inside of them. And God looks down at you and me and others like us, and he says, who are going to be the ones? Who will be the ones who will help shape the next generation? He always needs people, voices and hands, hands-on people who can construct and shape, and you're a part of those people.
Yeah, and it doesn't come from the sweat of our brow. Mm-mm. It comes from being in that secret place, that resting place of the Lord, to place yourself in the marinating of his anointing, and then things become unlocked in you that will unlock others.
Yeah.
Mark, I thank you for this time. I'm going to ask that you end out this podcast with a prayer of, you've already blessed them, you've already declared them, but I believe there's a capstone that needs to be put on this podcast.
Good.
That is you sealing
on
their hearts what we've spoken about.
Yeah. Definitely. I believe then in heaven, God has this vault. And of course, this is figurative language, so however you want to see it, but this is the way I kind of see it, is there's a vault full of the themes,
awesome,
the passions, and even the theology, the current theology, the now theology, because through each season or epoch of time and history, God has different themes. And those are waiting in the vault room of heaven for you and I to reach in and ask God, could we hear that melody? Could I hear that theme? So I just want to speak that over you in Jesus' name, that vault room would be accessible. It would be accessible to your heart, to your soul man, to your mind. You would see and comprehend. You would understand the very passions of God in such a way that not only are you impregnated with it and impassioned with it, but that when you share it, you are infectious. You're communicable, you're contagious with the very passions of God. God give you, I declare over you in Jesus' name, God give you unique phrases that are so now, that are so relevant, that are so in vogue with our culture and our time, that they're phrases that haven't been thought of before, phrases that may not have ever been considered to be religious phrases or spiritual phrases, but they're the phrases that unlock a man or woman's heart, changing their eternal course and destiny forever. I bless you with creative thoughts. I bless you with victory in areas of your life so that your CPU, your mind and emotion can be freed up to hear from God, being the vessel or conduit of his very themes and very passions in this hour, in Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.